How are we this morning? Very good, very good. Well, welcome to our Be Love Sunday. Who knows what Be Love Sunday is about?
Love.
Yes, love. It's in the word, Be Love Sunday. We're going to be talking at length about Be Love Sunday right through the whole service. The kids talk, the sermon, a lot of the songs will be aiming at what Be Love Sunday is all about. Okay, I need kids down the front, but I need specifically 9 volunteers. They don't have to be kids. You can be an adult to be a volunteer. So if you want to come up the front, please. Now's your chance. Kids here, and then we'll pick volunteers. Come on up. All right. Okay, I need 9 volunteers. 9 volunteers. People are hiding. Why would? Thanks, Randall. Come on up, mate. All right. Any volunteers from the kids? Jono, you want? Yep, okay. Yep, okay, stand in this line. Steve's in the line. Come and stand next to these good-looking gentlemen. All right, thank you, John. We need 9 standing along there. How many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Very good. Anyway, I need 2 more volunteers. Thank you, Dan. You won't... Oh, thank you. Oh, wow, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, on my volunteers list, you will not have to eat anything that you don't want to eat, just in case you were a bit worried. All right, in my hand I have some cards, and I'm just going to shuffle the cards, and you can pick whatever one you want as we go along.
Squirrel?
Yep.
Oh, I've got 2.
No,
got 3.
Only 1. Pick 1. Okay, just pick 1. Okay, pick 1. Okay, sorry, go near the mic. Oh. What? Yep. There we go. All right. Okay, now, I'm going to break you into 3 groups. So far, so good as volunteers. All right, now, each of you got given those cards. All right. Now, are you happy with those cards?
I wasn't sure about this one.
We trust you, guys.
You trust me, yep. Okay, everyone's happy with those cards? Do you want to swap those cards? If someone's standing next to you, you can swap those cards around if you want.
No.
Oh, one swapped, okay. Anyone else want to swap? Okay, all right. Can I have D1, 2 and 3 to stand up over here, please? D1, 2 and 3. D1, D2 and D3. All right, very good. In order, D1, D2, D3. All right, can I have C1, C2, C3 standing here, please? Who's C3?
Me.
Oh, very good. That worked perfectly. I like that. Yes. And P1, P2, P3. Is that in order?
No.
Work with me. Are you P3?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. Come and see me later. All right. Now... as you can see, these people are just normal people. They've been arrayed in a normal order. All right? Now, what we're going to have here is your cards reflect what you get. D1 gets a glass Coke.
Woo-hoo!
D2, a can of Coke. D3, nothing. C1... chocolate.
Oh.
C2, chocolate. C3, nothing.
Oh.
P1,
yeah.
Pretzels. P2, pretzels. P3, nothing.
Oh.
Now, how many people are envious of D1, C1 and P1? Oh, some people aren't. How many envious of D2, C2 and P2? Who's feeling sorry for D3, C3 and P3? Oh, you are feeling sorry for them because they missed out. They got nothing. Randall, what did you do wrong to get nothing?
I slept in this morning.
You slept in this morning. Okay. John, what did you do right to get that?
I slept in this morning.
You slept in this morning. Okay. That's a brilliant point, actually. It's really good. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I love the way you're working with me. D1, what did you do right to get that beautiful glass, special, collector's edition bottle of Coke?
I
I swapped my card with Randall.
You did. That's a good point too, eh? And D3, no, he doesn't need Coke. You were helping him out. Neither do you. Mate, what did you do wrong to get D3?
I volunteered last.
The last shall be last in this situation. So, Dan, what did you do right to get the big pretzels?
Pink shoes.
You wore pink shoes. And Joey, what did you do wrong? Do you think it's very fair that you got nothing?
I don't know.
You don't know. Oh. So you're okay? All right. So ladies and gentlemen, what I have before me is a situation where one third of the people were blessed with good stuff. One third of the people got mediocre stuff, and one third of the people got nothing. Zippo. Unfortunately, those statistics do not reflect what happens in our world today. If it was only one third got lots, one third got little, and one third got nothing, they wouldn't be that bad as statistics. In our world today, a lot more than one third get nothing. In your newsletters, on the front sheet, you'll be able to read what is actually going on in our world today, where people are not having enough water, where people are dying of starvation, where people don't have housing or accommodation. And they've done nothing to get that apart from being born in a certain place at a certain time. None of us said or did anything to be born in this amazing country called Australia. Some of us have moved here and travelled to this place, maybe pinched a card or someone else. But we're here and we're incredibly privileged and blessed, really blessed by what we do have. But we need to open our eyes to realize that there are people who have nothing and need something. How can we fix what we've got here today?
Share.
Okay, you've got a big chunk of chocolate there, so you could break that open and share with the rest of the friends and family around you. You could, that's correct. You could. Could. Dan, how could you right the wrongs that have been done here? You like Pringles. All right. And Steve, what could you do?
Pass me 8 glasses.
Pass you 8 glasses, because there's 8 cups in there?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Kids, do you see the message coming through today? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
What can we do to help in our everyday life? You don't have to answer that question right now. It's a toughie. And for those of us as adults, what can we do to help those that have nothing? It's a question that all of us can answer in one way, shape or another. Because the majority of us in this room have that big tin of Pringles, have that big Toblerone, and have the special collector's edition of the glass Coke. We all have the incredible. Let's pray. Father God, today, as we remember folk everywhere throughout our world, and some people woke up this morning and were late and still were blessed, as we saw in this scenario. Others woke up this morning and had to walk 5K to get a glass of water. Others woke up this morning not knowing what food they'd have before them. Others woke up this morning not knowing whether a group were going to come in sometime during that day and harass them out of their everything that they have and make them leave with nothing and run to a foreign land. But Father, we get to wake up today in a beautiful place, in a beautiful situation. And we say thank you to you and ask, Lord God, that you might open our eyes and our hearts on how we can be love to those around us and those further afield in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Let's give it a hand to my volunteers. Thank you. Thank you, volunteers. You can go sit down. You can keep that little monument. Memento of the card, and you can keep what you got given. How cool is that? All right. Okay, this is for everybody else, but kids, you need to listen in as well. How many folk within the walls of this building sponsor a child with any program, whether it be Compassion, World Vision, Baptist World Aid, Rome, anywhere? Anyone who sponsors a child? Oh, wow. That is amazing. Have a look around at all those hands. Keep your hands up if you sponsor a child. Okay. All right, very good. Okay, stand up if you sponsor a child in Africa. Stand up if you sponsor a child in Africa. Oh, wow. All throughout the world. All right, couple of random ones. James, what country?
Uganda.
Good. Charlie, what country?
Uganda.
Richie? Uganda. All right, what country? Zimbabwe?
Kenya?
Zimbabwe? Uganda? Kenya? Zambia? Thanks very much, everybody. Sitting down. I got blown away through Baptist World Aid. My little girl from Zambia, you know what her name is? Lioness. How cool is that? It came written L-Y-E-I-N-E-S, and I didn't know how to say it. And so when I rang up and was talking to Baptist World Aid, I said that, and they said, oh, you're the one that got Lioness. And I thought, wow, how cool a name is that? What's your name? Lioness. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, she's doing very, very well. Okay, anyone who sponsored a child in Asia? Stand up, please. Asia? Yep. Where in Asia?
Philippines.
Heather?
Yeah, Indonesia.
Yes? What cut? The Philippines. Very good. Bruce?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Oh, nice.
Thailand?
Thailand?
Nepal.
Nepal. Both of you, Nepal. Oh, nice. Nepal. Very good. All right, Thailand here as well. Okay. Other countries throughout the world? Yes, John?
Haiti.
Oh, nice. Yes, South America's. Yeah, okay. Anyone sponsor a child in South America's? Megan?
Nicaragua.
Yes? Syria. Syria. Wow, good.
India.
Yes, of course, India.
Guatemala.
Bolivia. Yep. I used to have a little boy for about 10 years out of Colombia. So he told me some interesting stories when he wrote to me from Colombia. So that's pretty amazing. See, we've got children sponsored all over the world. And today, for those that have thought about it, we have the opportunity. We have six children who are looking for some sponsorship. But the interesting thing with sponsorship these days, it's not just about a child, is it? It's about the community. This little boy is from Sri Lanka. This little boy is also from Sri Lanka. And Carlo is from the Philippines. Felicity is from the Philippines. Barmona is from Bangladesh. And Salomon is from Bangladesh as well. So there's a number of children there that we've got that we can sponsor today. We're going to keep them for about the next month. So if people would like to sponsor a child, they can today if you haven't done that before. But it's just a simple way that we can see the benefit going into the countries. We as a church have had a number of people support kids in Malawi, and that's been just amazing. I remember the team when we came back, there were six of us, and we were given six children to sponsor as a church, and the team grabbed three of those children straight away. And the interesting thing was the three children that they grabbed all came from huts that had dirt floors. The other three children had huts with concrete floors. Now, you wouldn't think there was much of a difference between a concrete floor and a dirt floor, but when we were over there, we realised, or we met the people that lived in the different huts, and if you had a concrete floor, that meant you were rich in that village because you had finance to be able to spend on a concrete floor. The rest of the time, one of the jobs for the ladies was to pound down the dirt every day in the hut so as it wouldn't be dusty, so it would be as hard as could be. And it was one of their jobs every day, pounding it down so that their hut that they lived in, all of them lived in and cooked in. Amazing place. So today we're going to be praying for that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for the children that are sponsored in and through this place. That is just amazing, those numbers and statistics that we just shared and the countries that were just named. Thank you, Father, that people monthly will be giving money to those works that are taking place all around our nations. And I just thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, that we will continue to pray into that work and that more and more will be done in amazing ways. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And God's children said, amen. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Kids, I want you to stay at the front for a minute. Before we come to communion, we're going to have some prayer for kids. You know, Jesus loved kids especially, and he reflects God's love for kids. And throughout the world, there's lots of kids who are not as well off as us. Already you saw that lots of people here sponsor kids in countries where they're not as well off, they don't have the food, and all the things that we would enjoy. And so we're going to have a little bit of a time to do something that we can all do for kids who are in another situation worse off than us, where there's bad things happening and where they really need to know some love and care and protection and those sort of things. And that's to pray for them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you about four different situations where kids find it really hard. And I want you kids to tell me what things you would like us to pray for the kids who are in that situation. And then I'm going to ask someone from the adults who would volunteer to pray for the kids in that situation. So while the adults are listening to what's being said, if you've got a big loud voice and could stand up and be the one who prays, just a short prayer for the things that the kids have mentioned, I'd appreciate that. Or if you haven't got a loud voice and you'd like to pray, come down and you can use this microphone to pray. So we're going to pray for kids in difficult situations in the world today. Do you understand that? So the first one is places where there's a famine. Do you know what a famine is? What's a famine, Johnny?
No food.
Somewhere where there's no food. So there's lots of kids living in the world today in places where there's drought or floods and all sorts of things that mean that all the food's gone. There's no food. So the kids have to beg, scavenge for food, or maybe in some situations try and work to get some food. They're poor and they can't buy food. But where kids have no food, often for no, as we've said, no reason of their own, no fault of their own. There's one part in Africa I was reading at the moment where there's 22 million people without any food. And so they're starving to death. So think about the kids where there's no food and in famine. What would you like to pray for kids in that situation and their families? Just give us a couple of things that we could pray for.
If there's drought, rain.
Yep. Okay, that's a good one. I'm sure you can think of something to pray for them. Got an idea? What do you reckon?
Like you said, famine.
Pray. What would we like to pray about that for the kids in that situation?
That they can get food.
Good. What else could we pray for them in that situation?
That they have a nice home.
Yep, somewhere to live. That'd be good in that situation. What else? Anything else you can think of? Okay, for kids in a famine situation, who would like to pray for kids in a famine situation? For what they said here, that they'd get some food, somewhere to live, and those sort of things. Someone like to pray for that? Thank you, Annie.
Jesus, we just want to thank you today for your great love for us. You just adore us, Father. And we are not worthy, but you just love us. And Father, you don't just love some, you love everybody. You love these beautiful little kids who have nothing, Father. And Jesus, just like you rescued us, you alone can rescue these beautiful children. You alone, Jesus, can supply their need, and reveal who you are to these beautiful children, so that they will be fed and they will be watered and they will receive the knowledge of your love in their hearts as well. So we commit them to you, Father, and we call on you, Jesus, for your mighty miracle to work in the hearts of these millions of children and adults as well, Father, who are in desperate need of physical help and spiritual help. Come to them, Jesus, in your mighty name, and we all declare this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Annie. Now, there's another thing that happens in the world, and that's natural disasters. Who knows what a natural disaster is?
Can be stuff like cyclones or things that destroy the properties, people's properties and homes.
Great. So at the moment, there's lots of natural disasters. There's always some happening somewhere. There's been a big earthquake in Mexico, and lots of homes have been destroyed. People have been killed. Kids there, some of them now have nowhere to live and all that sort of stuff. There's floods in Nepal and Bangladesh where all their homes and everything's been washed away, their food, and lots of people have been killed, so they might have lost parents or brothers and sisters, and they've got nowhere to live, and it's devastating. Vanuatu's just had a volcano that's destroyed lots of stuff. Bali's got a volcano that's about to erupt. And so there's lots of natural disasters in the world. Think about kids in those natural disasters where all sorts of terrible things have happened. And what would we like to pray for the kids in those situations?
That they have protection.
Great. Protection is a really good one. What else could we pray for? Doesn't have to be too hard. Just think of anything that you'd like to pray for them. What would you like to pray for kids in that situation?
That they have enough food and water.
Yeah, because lots of things have been washed away. They've got nothing.
A home.
A home, and that's really important for lots of them.
I'm going to say what Lucy said.
Got another idea?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. I'm sure we can think of lots of other things. You know, we're pretty safe here. We might possibly get a cyclone, but I doubt it. There's not many natural disasters that are going to affect us too much where we are. But in some places, it really happens lots of times, and the kids suffer a lot. Now, who would like to pray for kids in natural disasters at the moment? Do we have a volunteer to pray for them? Yes, no. Okay, Heather.
Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you can meet people's needs even in the worst disasters. And God, we pray that you would move on our hearts and people's hearts to contribute to help these people in the disaster. But we just pray for your protection and that you would watch over especially little children who are hurting. We pray that you would come and fill them with your love, that they would know you struggles that they're going through. And God, we pray that you would move in the hearts of all of us to do what you call us to do to help to contribute to alleviate the suffering that people all over the world have. And God, help us to begin to pray and to really care. There's so many people who are our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Heather. Now, there's another situation that's not natural and it's worse, and that is when people do horrible things and fight against each other and create wars and conflict and there's battles and all sorts of horrible things going on, and in the middle of that, people get really scared. And think about it, if there was a war, how scary it would be if it was all happening around you, fighting and people being angry with each other, and you would always be scared that something horrible is going to happen. And in those situations, sometimes they can get away and escape. Other times they're just stuck in those places where there's bombs and shooting and all sorts of horrible things. It would be totally scary to be a kid in that situation. And if you could get away and you had to run away to somewhere else with your family, you'd probably only be able to take the things you could carry with you. Imagine if, you know, Mum and Dad said today, we have to run away because there's horrible things happening and you can just take what you can carry. What would you take? All those horrible things for kids, and then they become refugees, they have to flee to somewhere else and depend on people to give them food and shelter and protection. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a kid in that situation, but what were some of the things we could pray for kids who are caught up in war or having to flee as a refugee to another place to get safety? What's some things we could pray for those kids? Jono?
Safety.
Definitely safety, yep.
That they can have a nice home.
Yeah, because they'll have probably had to run away or their homes will get all messed up. So, yep, for that to turn around and change.
So that they can get food and water.
Yep, because that'll be difficult.
That they wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, protection.
That they wouldn't get scared.
Yeah. The fear, God would help them with the fear. Yeah. Well, there's a few things. Let's pray for kids who are caught up in war and conflict and who are stuck in refugee camps and all those sort of things. Who would like to pray for the kids caught up in conflict? Oh, good on you, mate.
Father, we just pray for families and children in particular, Lord, in war zones, violent situations. Father, we ask for your protection over their entire family, especially them, Lord. We ask that you would protect them from seeing the horrors that are involved in those situations that they don't need to see. Father, we have it pretty easy over here, and it's sometimes hard for us to imagine what it's like for them, so help us to understand what they're going through, Lord, and help us to understand how we can be your love in those lives as well, Lord, and share with them, Father. Lord, we just pray for an end to those wars and those situations. situations, Lord. We ask for peace. We ask for your love in those situations. And Lord, most of all, we ask that they know who you are in and through those situations, and that you would just be able to speak into their lives and reveal yourself to them.
And now, there's also situations where, you know, just like where we are here, it's peaceful generally, nice place to live, nothing much terrible happening around us. But for some kids, it's not good situations. They might be in a family where there's a lot of fighting between the parents and it's not happy for them. Their parents might have separated and they're upset about that. Their parents might have lost their jobs and they don't have money and they have to leave their homes and try and find somewhere else. And there's all sorts of situations happen around us for kids. And you probably know some kids at school who are doing it hard and things like that for all sorts of reasons. So what are some of the things we can pray for kids in ordinary families where things are just going wrong and it's pretty awful for them at the moment?
Courage.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That they can get through it and they don't get upset about most things.
Yep. What else, Jill? Mm. You have anything?
Not at the moment.
At the moment? No ideas? So it mightn't be as dramatic as the other things, but it's still hurtful for kids and it's still difficult when those things are going on. They probably need good friends who can encourage them and support them and be there for them. Lots of things. So who would like to pray for kids in just normal family situations that have gone wrong and it's really difficult for the kids in those situations? This is the last one, so last chance. You count as an adult, mate, for this. Good on you, mate.
Father, we come before you today and we pray for those that are in families that may not be necessary together. I pray that you'll be the perfect father to them, if there is one, because you alone can stop them from feeling distressed. And I pray that that through this they will come to know you because of their lack of family needs, and pray that they will just be totally filled with your spirit and that through that we can minister.
Thanks, everyone. Let's not forget to pray for kids in all these situations, because it's one thing for the adults to try and manage it, but for the kids, they don't have a lot of control over what is happening. And so they really need our prayer for love, protection, peace, even joy in life. How do they find joy in those situations? And God intends for them to be blessed and appreciating the life he created them for. So let's keep praying for kids always. Now, Steve quoted a Bible verse before, and it's probably the most well-known Bible verse there is in the Bible. Even people who are not Christians and don't know much about God could probably quote this verse. What do you reckon that was? Do you remember what it was, or could you think what was the most well-known Bible verse? Mm-hmm. So, Jono, do you know where that comes from? Book of John, yep. It's in the book of John. Who can help us out? It's John 3:16. Now, go on, Jono, tell us what it says.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more. Someone like to finish that for us? So, God loves every single person. And we're talking about love this morning and about God's love, especially about love for people in hard and difficult situations. And so this morning we're going to come and experience something of God's love personally through coming to this table. Whoops. Donnie, can you lift that off maybe while I'm talking? Otherwise I'm going to make a mess. When we come to the communion table, we remember something special, that God did love us so much that he sent Jesus to make a way for us to be in a relationship with him. And so as we come to the table this morning, let's just remember how much God loved us. And it also says that we should love in the same way that he loved. So just the same way as he's loved us by giving his life for us, we should love others. And that means sometimes putting ourselves out, being there for people in difficult situations and showing them what God has done so they too can come into a relationship with him. So this table reminds us of all of that, that Jesus' body was broken on the cross, that his blood poured out, and that as he died, he paid the penalty for all of our bad things, all of our sin, all of our rebellion against God. And now, if we truly trust that Jesus did that for us, he will come in and to our lives and give us a relationship with God and be with us as we go through all the things of life. And so, as we come to the table this morning, just be thinking about how much God loves you, but also how much he loves all the other people in the world. And even bad people, God loves them too, and he wants them to change. He wants them to know him and turn from being bad to being good. And it's only the power of God and his Spirit that can make that change in people's lives. But he needs people like us to tell them about that. So as we take it, let's not just take it for ourselves, but take it thinking, God, empower me to be able to tell others about this good news about Jesus coming. So we're going to come to the communion table, and it is about the love of God for us, but also about the fact that he wants us to love each other.
Just going to read in the scripture from Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him because they were all waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came up. Falling at Jesus' feet, he pleaded with him to come to his house because he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds pressed around him. Now a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years but could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and at once the bleeding stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who was it who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are surrounding you and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I know that power has gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she came trembling and fell down before him. In the presence of all the people, she explained why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
Thank you, Paul. That passage today is one of my favourite passages from God's Word, but it's also one of the most challenging for me from God's Word. Favourite, it's because Jesus is about doing what Jesus does. He's doing the busyness of what he did as a rabbi. Who is he with? He's with his disciples. Always with his disciples, he's teaching and showing and leading them on ways to live life to the best and in abundance. I don't know about you, but how many people live a fairly busy lifestyle? Busy lifestyle. Yeah, I've had a busy morning this morning. A whole bunch of things have been happening. Michaela turned 23 this week, so whole week of birthday celebrations and a whole great amount of things happening and people staying over and that sort of stuff. So it's been a really full-on week. I actually tried this week and I said to Avril, and Avril, I need to confess to you, I failed on this. My goal this week was to work a 40-hour week, you know, just to be normal for once. If I had a... Thanks, Annie. Welcome. Welcome back, Annie. If I had a stopped Wednesday, I would have stopped at 40 hours. That would have been fine. But it's just the busyness of life that gets after. This morning, down at the beach, there was 205 families starting nippers for the very, not for the very first time, but at Kiwanis Water Surf Club. And I got to talk to them. And before I got up to talk to them, I'm like, ugh, here I am. All these people, energetic and young and fit. But as soon as they gave me the opportunity to speak, all of a sudden, I'm full of whatever God's got for me, and I'm out there and I'm doing crazy things with the kids and getting them to clap as I introduced the new leader of the Nippers and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of it, as I'm leaving and I'm walking back to my car, having given away 20 to 30 Chubba Chubs, I get into the car and go, I'm had it. And so I could almost see Jesus when he's going along on his business trip here, and he's traveling along, and he gets someone, grabs him, and he says, "My daughter, my one and only daughter, is not well. In fact, she's dying." And he's the ruler of a synagogue. And if we had more time this morning, we could go into the whole aspects of him being a ruler of a synagogue and coming to Jesus and what that's all about. But the thing is, the man is desperate, isn't he? If your daughter is dying, for those of us that have got daughters, if our daughter is dying or son, he's dying, you'll do anything to get that better, hey? So here's this guy, he's a Jewish leader in the synagogue, and he's coming to Jesus, the new hotshot rabbi in the area, who's doing amazing things. And I reckon this rabbi, but not sorry, this leader of the synagogue, I reckon he's done a whole bunch of things before coming to Jesus. And like Jesus is like his last chance. His last chance. Jesus is it. And so Jesus says to him, yep, I'm come with you to your house. So here's Jesus coming with this man to his house to minister into this daughter, 12 years old. And as Jesus is going along, there's a crowd of people around. And we read that. The disciples say, Jesus, the crowd is so thick. How could you know someone touched you? But in this situation, Jesus is going along and people are pushing in. And in this crowd, have you ever walked in a crowd and wondered about people that are walking around you? Who are these people? What sort of person am I walking next to? Who is this person? You know? This crowd is pushing around. The only common denominator in this crowd is Jesus. They want to see Jesus. And this woman wanted to touch Jesus. This woman, a terrible situation, isn't it? Let's have a just quick look at it. A woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. Can I say that again? 12 years. Honey, how would you like me to have a really bad sickness for 12 years? No, one day's enough of me being sick in the house. At the beginning of my sickness in the house, more and more people at the end of that day are praying for my healing because they want me out of the house because I'm a shocking person to be sick around. I never do what I'm told. I'm shocking. So 12 years, I don't know how this lady survives, 12 years with this illness. And not only that she has done everything she could to get rid of it, to be healed. She's gone to all sorts of doctors, all sorts, and no answer. And so again, here's this other, this time it's a woman desperate for something. And she reaches out to Jesus. And here it is. She touches his cloak and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately. And straight away Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? Everybody denied it. No, not me. Nope, not me. And then the disciples said, but everyone's around you, everyone's pushing in. Lots of people are touching you. But Jesus knew that someone had intentionally reached out to him. Intentionally. Not just haphazardly, not just cruising through life, yes, I love Jesus, but intentionally stopped and said, I am going to reach out to Jesus with all my being. He's my only hope in life. And touched him. And then she finally came forward, seeing that she had no opportunity but to say yes. She comes forward and she falls at Jesus' feet and she gives her testimony. And then she says how she was instantly healed. And Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now this is an amazing story, isn't it, that's taking place. This woman who 12 years had this terrible bleeding situation. And again, if we had more time, we could go into great detail on that. But anyway, she was not well. And here we get this situation where she is healed. Isn't there another story going on here? Isn't there a dad whose little girl's dying? How are you feeling, Dad? What the heck's going on here? Forget about her, Jesus. She's nothing. She's only a woman. Sorry, ladies, but that was the culture of the day. Don't worry about her. Worry about me. I'm the leader of this Jewish synagogue. It's my daughter. I'm important. Don't worry about her. Don't you think? We don't hear that coming from Jairus, do we? We don't hear about his whinging and complaining and stomping up and down and throwing his little two-year-old tantrum. We don't hear that. The story goes on and I asked Paul not to read the rest of the story, but to finish at that woman, miraculously healed. But we'll finish the story very quickly. Jesus goes on, and he hears. Some people came, and they say to the synagogue ruler, your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Isn't that terrible? How could you be the dad? This woman's interrupted this situation. Jesus was on his way. If only this woman hadn't got in the road, maybe my daughter would still be alive. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." I hope and pray that that was just an amazing sense of comfort for that man in that situation, in that desperation. His desperation has just gone from possible healing to there's only one answer left, a resurrection from the dead. And Jesus says these words. When they arrived at the house, Jesus didn't want anyone else to go in except Peter and John and James, the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were outside wailing and mourning. And Jesus said, "Stop wailing. She's not dead. She's just asleep." Wow. Wow. No wonder Jesus knew there was some power that had gone out of him. He's walking with the Father, isn't he? The power of the Holy Spirit is loud and clear and evident in and through Jesus' life. That he could say those words, "She's not dead, she's only asleep." And in a moment, something amazing is going to happen. And they laughed at him and called him all silly names. That's what I'm reading between the lines. Knowing that she was dead, because they knew better. How many of us know better than Jesus? Yeah, Randall, definitely. Yeah, we all know better than Jesus a lot of the time, don't we? I do. That's not the way you do it, Jesus. This is the way you do it. If only you'd answer my prayers the way I ask and tell you to.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Here he goes. He says, "But he took her by the hand and he says, 'Child, get up.' Her spirit returned and at once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat," which confirms that she's alive. Amen. Dead people don't eat. They don't need to. All right? Don't need to. So, and her parents were astonished. That's a big word, isn't it? Astonished. You think you'd be astonished? Your little baby girl, 12 years old, has just come in alive after Jesus told her, grabbed her by the hands. No great big thing happening. Just get up. In the busyness of our world, we need to be about what Jesus is about. We need to be about handing out love and care to women who no one really cares about, who've done everything they can do, who've got nothing left. And there's a lot of ladies in our world today that are struggling and doing it tough. In our community, further afield. As I shared earlier in the service, I got to share with some amazing men. I didn't get to talk to many of the ladies, but amazing men. I did see a number of mums, single mums there on Friday with their little kids, honouring husbands that had passed away. One of the guys I'd shared with is 41 years old, 41, and he's been medically retired from the police for 4 years. He could never work again. He's so beat up with post-traumatic stress and a whole bunch of other things. Can no longer have kids. But he just opened up his life and just shared it all with me. We live in a world where Jesus needs to work in and through us, that moment can be there for people in need. Whether it be Jairus, whether it be a woman, whether it be anyone that we meet. Because when we walk in the crowd, we don't know, do we? Who needs that touch from Jesus? Who needs us to be love on any given day, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? Let's pray. Father God, oh Lord Jesus. Father, can you forgive us for being busy? Forgive us for being selfish and just wanting our own stuff. Lord, you call all of us to reach out beyond ourselves, to be love. You call all of us to love you and to share the good news in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so, Father, I pray that you again fill us and you with your Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus walked in the authority and power of the Holy Spirit, may we do the same. And may we be aware of opportunities of ministry when people reach out. May we point them to you, Jesus, because you are the one who can bring about the healing in their lives. Only you can do that, Lord Jesus. Only you can raise up dreams that have been disappeared, lives that have fallen on tough times. Only you, Lord Jesus, can bring about change in people's lives. And so, Father, help us to be that pointing sign, that signpost to you, Jesus, that people every day would trust in you, not in the things of this world, not in the people of this world, but in Jesus. Lord, may your love be flowing through us, that we might love enough to give a hand up. In Jesus' name, amen.